I have used a random number generator to generate our draft order, and I've got the horn. I'm at number 4.
Wow. Guy that runs the podcast gets a hot corner. That's interesting. Interesting. Random number generator.
Yeah, very interesting.
Hot corner, yet again, doesn't go to me.
Guys, I promise it was random. I swear it was random. Hey everybody, I'm your host Stephen Pulverin, and this is Hodinkee Radio. This week we're back with another fantasy draft. I know you guys love when we do these things, and this time we thought we'd get a little goofy here. We are going to do the 2021 Hype Watch Fantasy Draft. We're recording this about a week after that Green Dial Nautilus sold for over $400,000. It seems like the hype train is real when it comes to these certain categories of popular watches. So we thought we'd lead into it. Why fight it? And I've got Danny, James, and Cole with me this week, and we are going to draft our most hype collections. So it's 4 categories. We've got Genta watches, we've got Rolexes, we've got collabs, we've got independents. You're going to hear a lot of watch names you're probably expecting and a handful that you definitely won't be expecting. And we've put together 4 collections here. So as usual, you can vote on the winner. Check out the show notes, and there will be links to go do that online. And may the most hype watch collection win. So without further ado, let's do this. Hey guys, what's going on?
Good afternoon. I wasn't sure what time it was.
Hello, Steven.
Ahoy. Yeah. It's just barely afternoon. Well played.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go full Good Morning Vietnam on me there. And I was like, okay, that's a mood.
I was doing a full, where's the clock? Where's my watch?
It's still morning for Steven.
Yeah, it is still morning for me here. I've got a nice cup of tea here.
Oh, and Cole.
It's 10 a.m. here.
Yeah. Oh, you're on mountain time. Oh, okay. Yeah. We're rocking three time zones here. 3 time zones, 2 countries.
What time zone is Cole in? That's the question every time we record a podcast.
Mountain time, baby.
Canadian Central Standard Time for me.
There you go. Perfect.
All right. So technically we got 4 time zones.
That's not a real thing.
All right, we're here to do a draft. It's that time again. I know it's a time the 3 of you guys love as much as I do. Talking watches, talking shit, getting competitive. This week we're gonna do a fun one. This one's a little goofy. We're gonna do the Hype Watch Fantasy Draft. Anyone who's been paying attention saw, I hope, that insane Nautilus auction result about a week ago when we're recording this. $400,000 for a Green Dial Nautilus. I'll just come flat out and say, like, that's so stupid. God, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. Someone, jeez.
Come on, it's factory sealed. Come on, guys.
Wiling out real hard.
Ugh, come on. Ugh.
And the backstory is even better too. So you should go look at the backstory to that whole thing. Yeah.
It is. It's hilarious, actually.
Yeah. I can think of few things that are less cool in the watch world than paying $400,000 for a factory sealed steel sport watch from Patek, in my not so humble opinion.
I can think of one person who disagrees with you demonstrably. Probably, arguably, you know, with my very extensive knowledge of auctions, I would say at least 2 people.
That's right.
That's true, actually. I think that's technically true. Yeah, we don't have to go too much into that and why I think that's just like ludicrous and makes watch collecting way less fun. But what we're going to do is we're going to lean into the hype. We're going to go full hype beast here. And we're going to draft the most hype watch collections we can draft here. So I've got 4 categories for you today. And the 4 categories are Genta or Genta inspired, waitlist Rolex, big name collab, and high value indie. So Genta or Genta inspired, pretty self-explanatory. You got to pick a Gerald Genta designed sport watch or something sort of adjacent, like integrated bracelet, kind of geometric. You know, we'll leave the names for later, but you know, something Royal Oak or Nautilus-esque. And the rule here for all of these watches is they need to be currently available or currently-ish available, like last year or two. We're not picking, you know, stuff from the 70s. We're not picking stuff that sold out 5, 6, 7 years ago. So still lots to pick from in the Genta category. Waitlist Rolex, that one has to be a watch that is currently available. You have to be able to walk into a Rolex boutique and get laughed at when you ask for it. That's the rule.
I was waiting for where that sentence was going to finish, and I'm glad where it did.
I could see all of your eyes got a little wide. Like, does Steven think you can buy Daytonas? Is he like, what has Steven been smoking?
Maybe Steven can.
Whoa, don't say the picks.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Ooh, spoilers.
Yeah, people might not have prepared that one.
So, Waitlist Rolex. Big name collab. It's got to be a watchmaker and at least one other person. There have actually been some cool three-way and four-way collaborations out there over the last couple of years. But this needs to be somebody from outside the watch world needed to have a hand in the creation of this watch, and their name needs to be on it. And then the last one is high-value indie. We've seen especially auction prices for independent watches going crazy over the last year. This needs to be a watch from an independent watchmaker that you think is going to deliver some return, you know, and we don't need to get too much into the financials of, you know, how much you think it's going to deliver or whatever, but it needs to be an independent that you think, like, if you bought it today and you decided to sell it at auction a year or two from now, you think you'd get a big number. And I'll clarify one last thing. By independent here, I mean that in the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. So Rolex, technically independent. Patek, technically independent. Even like Richard Mille, like technically independent, but like, I don't know if I consider RM an indie. We can adjudicate that if it comes to it, but
what?
Thanks, James.
Let me just scrap this whole list.
Yeah. James is full Letterman style, threw his list over his shoulder. Yeah. Does that sound good to you guys? Does this all make sense? Have I like way overthought this?
No, you haven't.
I'm okay with it.
All right, perfect.
I'm okay. I'm good. I'm great.
Great. Yeah. I love Cole just coming in hot. Just like, nah, you're good.
It's fine. Yeah,
but it's going to be serpentine style like we usually do.
Yep. We're going to do the usual serpentine style draft, and then we will let the audience vote on the winner. So we'll have this on hodinkee.com. We'll link it up in the show notes if you're listening to this on your pod player of choice, where you can go vote. You'll have a little over a week to vote. Same usual thing we do. One thing to note is in a given category, once a watch has been picked, it is not on the table for others. And we always do that, but there's always some little bit of variance depending on the kind of draft. Here, I'm going to say in the Genta category, you know, one Royal Oak, one Nautilus, one, you know, whatever the model line is, only one person can pick it. Within Rolex, once somebody picks, again, a model line, whether that's a sub, a GMT, a Daytona, whatever, that's it. Somebody's not doing the two-tone as somebody doing the steel. You know, we're not going to get into that. Same spirit in collab and indie. You know, within independent, we can all pick the same brand. We just can't all pick the same watch. So keep that in mind as this goes along. You can pick in any order. You don't have to pick your categories in order. And because our producer, Gray, couldn't be with us today on this recording, Gray is on set shooting an awesome video today. I have used a random number generator to generate our draft order. If anyone has any objections, no, don't tell me. Just keep your objections to yourselves. We're drafting in this order. This is what we're doing. I promise this was fair, and I generated this randomly. So with the number one overall pick, we've got our man, Danny.
Whoa.
Drafting second, we've got James.
Woof.
I know. Sorry, man. Cole, Mr. Chili P, is number three.
Okay.
And I've got the horn. I'm at number four.
Wow. Guy that runs the podcast gets a hot corner. That's interesting. Interesting. Random number generator.
Yeah, very interesting.
Hot corner, yet again, doesn't go to me.
Guys, I promise it was random. I swear it was random. Also swear that I've been getting my ass kicked the last couple of drafts, so I have a funny feeling it's not going to help me at all. The listeners have to put up with my voice every week, so I think that's probably a disadvantage in the end. But all right, let's get into this. Everybody ready to start drafting watches? So
who's going to hype it up? We got to get a hype man on the show to start hyping everything up.
Let's get some hype music in here. All right,
we need the air horn. Where's the air horn?
Yeah, let's get some air horns in here. Let's get some fun fills going.
Dirty Milty.
Just a crowd cheering after every pick.
All right. So on the clock with the first overall pick in the 2021 Hype Watch Fantasy Draft, Mr. Danny Milton, let's go.
Let's go.
All right. So I'm going to do this. And I'm going to kick myself for doing it because I really do like this watch and I'm feeling this might make it even more difficult to get. So I'm going to go with the Rolex category and my choice will be the Rolex Milgauss with the black dial. Potentially, quote unquote, one of the easier to get in the world of stainless steel Rolex. That being said, still entirely impossible. But I'm picking it because... you know, I have a strange feeling the time is nigh for this piece. It's been in production for a very, very, very long time, over a decade now. We're talking Rolex and the way that they kind of go through models, you know, and we're talking hype. I think if you were going to try to get yourself on a list for this watch, this would be the time to do it. I think it's the most fun watch Rolex makes, full stop. It's got their kind of version of a gray, black, matte type dial. Multiple colors of loom, lightning bolt seconds hand, and a green crystal. I mean, it's just all of those statements individually are just wild, and they're all on a Rolex watch. I don't know why. When I got my GMT Master Batman, it was between the Milgauss and that, and this was something like five or six years ago. I regret sometimes not picking this up when you still could. And yeah, so if, that's going to be my first choice for the draft.
Good pick, Danny. Good pick.
Solid pick.
Yeah, I think that's a strong pick. I'll admit, not what I expected.
No,
but me neither. I think a strong pick with a good reason.
I'm all about surprise here.
Love it. James, how about you? Let's go second pick.
I'm going for hype on this one. We're going Royal Oak, QP, titanium, salmon dial.
What category?
Gerald Genta.
Yeah, of course. All right. Just making sure.
James, when is the salmon QP from?
Right now, current collection.
Yeah, it's not new. It's not new. I checked.
26615TI.
I mean, it's new enough. It's new enough. It counts.
Oh, you're right. Totally forgot about that. Yeah, amazing. That's an awesome pick.
No, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. As much as if this had been like one that wasn't limited to the last couple of years, like a 2554 BA, like an original first year, second year Mark One dial, that probably would do it. But if you're picking from the modern collection, which means you're now up to 41 millimeters, I want the titanium. I think the salmon has a nice connection to back to the 15202 BC they're making right now. And yeah, it's just like a killer mix of that weird color for titanium and this kind of off goldy sort of color for the dial. So, and it hits the Genta way in a big way and just obliterates Royal Oak off the board for the rest of you. So
I think the QP Royal Oak.
Good Genta.
I like it.
I think the QP is one of the only Royal Oaks that to me feels just as authentic as the original. Like, I think you can add other complications. I think like the chronographs look perfectly nice, like all that stuff. But
for sure,
to me, they all feel like variations. Whereas, I don't know, for me, the QP feels like kind of like core to the Royal Oak.
Yeah, I also think that there's something about the original spirit of the Royal Oak being a steel version of a luxury watch, where the QP version of that kind of extends even deeper into the idea of deep luxury, but in this kind of steel format. And then I think in titanium, it's like kind of the most true to the ethos of the original as possible, maybe short of going with a 15202.
I thought you were going to go Corey Richards.
Yeah.
Overseas is what I really thought you were going to go, actually.
I don't know why you keep saying picks.
Well, because no one else is going to pick. I doubt Steven's going to pick that one.
You don't know.
I doubt Danny's going to pick that
you
one.
You don't know.
Well, it's also one of one and not available for sale in any metric.
Okay, so there you go. Off the table.
I would have vetoed right, that
that's
pick.
That's fair.
But I will say I'm surprised you didn't go 15202 BC. That I really thought was going to be the Royal Oak that somebody would take.
Yeah, stop. What?
Stop saying picks.
That picks out.
Keeping
out.
Things exciting.
I mean, it's cool. It's off the board, man.
It's off the board now.
It's off the board,
all
baby.
Right, all right.
You can say all the Royal Oaks you want. I already killed it.
Yeah. Salmon dial row.
Yep.
That's a pick that I expected and that I'm really glad somebody took. Cole, you're up. Your first pick.
I'll follow on Genta. And let's see if you veto this or not. I think it is in the family. I'm going to say stainless steel Lange Odysseus.
I'll allow it.
In the family.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you. Why? Because, and this is hugely controversial, but I can't spiritually connect with the Nautilus or the Royal Oak, whereas the Odysseus, I might be able to get there. And I really wanted to pick Polar Router, but your damn rules are just getting in the way. And so, yeah, the Odysseus, it's a fine watch. It's a cool one. I love Lange. It's probably the only, like, you know, high-end horology brand that I really, really connect with. And I didn't think anyone else was going to pick this just because there is major hype around, as we can see by these auction results, there's major hype around the other watches. And I just wanted to leave some for you guys too, you know, like the one that I think is going to be picked next by you, Stephen. So on to you.
Interesting. That's very kind of you, Cole. I appreciate that. I gotta say, I think the Lange fits and I think it counts. To me, it's kind of like the outlier in this category, right? Because it's like, it's kind of got 1 foot in this category and 1 foot out of this category. Mm-hmm. Like it may be, if we really want to be sticklers, isn't this kind of watch, but it's a watch meant to compete with this kind of watch. Is that fair? Am I making that up?
I think so. I think it's a challenger to, it's obviously, it's Germany's answer to this sort of Swiss soiree of stainless steel integrated sports watches that have been pushed to the forefront of the hype train recently. And I mean, here's the other interesting thing that I think about the Odysseus. Lange typically doesn't go for more than retail on the secondary market. A lot of them, right? 95% of the model range. The Odysseus does. So is it the category that's hyped or is it the watch that's hyped?
Question for you, Cole.
It's an interesting thought exercise. Yes, sir.
Is the Odysseus less than $400,000?
It is, yeah. It's significant.
It's a pretty good deal, all things considered. Yeah.
Yeah. It ain't bad. Not too bad. Yeah.
Not so, bad. There you good go. Value.
Good value proposition.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good. Yeah. I like that framing, James. I think that's how we should frame most watch purchases these days.
It's an incredible baseline for forever on Hodinkee. Yeah. It's the baseline.
Less than what you might spend on something else.
All right. So I'm in a tough spot here. So I got two picks, which is great. I'm not complaining, but I mean, I kind of have to take a Nautilus, don't I?
Yeah, that's like, exactly what I was getting at.
I kind of have to, and I don't want to. I don't think this is cool. You know what? You know, I'm not going to take the Nautilus. I'm not going to do it. I think...
Oh, God.
It's a cool watch.
Don't do it to me. No, take it. I don't want to take it.
I'm making you take it, Danny. I'm making you take it. I'm handing it to you. Here you go, Danny.
I don't want it.
All right, so maybe don't pick it, and everybody tells us we did a
messing
terrible
up my,
job
my
with
my surprise
draft. We're just a bunch
board.
Of idiots who have no idea what we're doing.
That doesn't matter what we pick. That's true.
Yeah, that's probably right. You know what? All right, I'm not going to take the Nautilus. I just don't want to play the $400,000 flip game. I mean, let's be honest. If I scored one of these at retail, I would sell it and put a down payment on a house. That is what I would do. I would not wear this watch. I would not tell anyone I had this watch. It would be purely a financial asset, which to me is like kind of beside the point. You know, I can call my financial advisor and have that done, you know, not in watches. So I'm going to go Octo Finissimo.
I knew it.
I'm going to go the sandblasted titanium, just the basic, no nonsense. Thought about going to Dao Ando, but that's an LE.
That's what I thought.
That's an LE. Yeah. We'll avoid that. I'm just going to go with the basic titanium bracelet Octo Finissimo from Bulgari. That watch is awesome. And in my opinion, it's the only one of the watches of this style, you know, since we've decided that the Odysseus is kind of its own thing. To me, it's the only like real hardcore challenger to this category to come along in the last couple of years that I think really stands up. I think it is just as good as the Royal Oak and the Nautilus. And I think 30, 40, 50 years from now, it's going to be kind of lumped into that same category. So I'm going to put the chips down early here and say sandblasted titanium Octo Finissimo for my first pick for fourth overall. I'm sorry, Danny.
It's a good pick. It's a good pick.
That takes Tadeo Ando off the table for collabs, right?
It doesn't.
Wait. No. Cross category is cool, right? If we can
I would
justify.
Say it, that would be fine, except I would say Tadeo Ando's a little old if you want to pick.
There's two.
You could pick the newer one. That's true. Which, by the way, I saw in the wild the other day. All right. So I got another pick to make here. You know, I'm going to go Rolex because I think by the time I pick again, they're all going to be long, 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 long gone. I could pick one of the many picks that Cole has already said, or one of the many picks that I have already said out loud, but I'm going to go off the board for that. I'm going to go with the Oyster Perpetual with the Tiffany blue dial.
Mm, that's very you.
You jerk.
For my waitlist Rolex.
Interesting dial choice. Interesting.
It's a super hot watch. You can't get them. They're selling way over retail for crazy money. I've actually looked into it. For me, I'd get the 36 size. If I had to put a size on this, I'd probably pick the 41. I think that's like the more popular size with most people. But yeah, I just think this is a case where, like, Rolex, to Danny's point, like, Rolex does really good watches. They don't always make really fun watches. And for, I think, some similar reasons, Danny, to why you like the Milgauss, like, it's a little quirky. I like that this is a tough to get, highly desirable steel Rolex, but like, it's not so serious. It's not a professional. It's like a fun, like, hangout, sitting out in the sunshine, having a cocktail, like, chatting with friends kind of watch. And I really, really like that about it. So we'll go Tiffany Blue OP.
I like that choice. I like that choice a lot.
Great pick.
Yeah. It's okay.
My wife has the silver dial 36 and in the new one, and it's just a great watch in general. I really like the dial.
I mean, should I actually buy this watch? I think maybe I should.
I mean, you won't find anybody here to stop you.
I'd love a yellow one.
Yeah, James, I actually, to your point, the yellow was my other choice. The yellow is the one I might buy for myself ahead of the Tiffany Blue. The Tiffany Blue might actually be like too hype for me personally. But yeah, these colored OPs are just awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back. Cole, you are up next. We're going back the other way on the snake.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That is the way these serpentine drafts work, and I should know this by now.
That is exactly how these serpentine drafts work, like a snake.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all right. So I did Genta. I have yet to do Rolex, collab, or high-end indie. So I'm going to go high-end indie.
Hype indie.
And you might veto this one, and I might have a backup plan, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Let's see. I'm going to go The Mad One by MBNF.
You're allowed.
Are you going to veto it or no?
Okay, that's, great. That's fine.
All right, that's it.
Why would I veto that?
Because I don't know if you can really buy it per se.
I'll allow it. You're right. You can't really buy this watch, but I think for sake of argument here, we can allow it.
You cannot, I think.
All right, great. Yeah, I think that's just the coolest thing ever. I would love to see more, like, instead of $100,000, it's $1,000 or $2,000. I think, actually, you can buy it. There was a retail price on this watch. So I think it was somewhere like $2,000 something dollars. So
one point of contention from the Canadian delegate, it's not an MBNF watch, to be fair. It's a Max Buescher watch.
True.
So that MBNF should still be on the board. Is the point I'm actually trying to make.
Yes.
All right. So I guess I just love the philosophy of this watch. Yeah. And yeah, here's the thing. I could pick, you know, some $1 million, I'm not going to say the brands, but you all know what they are. But I just think this is so cool. And it's maybe the dawning of a new era where high horology brands can get into something that the everyman can buy. And I just think that is very, very cool. The aesthetics of the watch, yeah, they're wild. They're very Max Buescher, which is awesome in its own right. But even cooler that, hey, maybe I can own one day. You know, maybe I can own a watch by Max Buescher. And that's cool to me.
Agreed.
So that's the one I'm taking.
I take that pick. That's not one that I had on my like long list or my like board, but I think that's a strong pick. I think it's a super fun watch. And I'm kind of heartened to hear that we're probably going to be seeing some more stuff from Max like this in the not too distant future. Mm.
It was certainly hype in the Hodinkee Slack when it dropped. So
it's a hype watch.
Definitely,
I mean,
counts
it is.
As a hype watch.
Think it's the ultimate hype watch, actually.
Mm. Yeah.
And just cool too. Like, usually I don't like hype watches. I do like this one. So
really cool.
Nice. All right. So that means Danny's up, I think, right?
No, James. James is picking. James. All right, James. Your second pick.
This is ridiculous. All right. I'm going Rolex. And if we're going hype Rolex, we're going Daytona. But I want to flex on all the guys that spent $30,000 on their steel. And I'm going with the modern John Player Special, solid gold, oyster flex, champagne dial, black subdials.
Mm.
Love it.
I think it's like one of my favorite modern Rolexes, and it's definitely the most fun. Super fun, almost silly. I love the idea that you can get a Daytona that wears that well on that rubber strap. So as much as I would have liked the yellow OP, I'm happy enough with a solid gold Daytona. So easy to please, as they say.
I think weirdly the coolest part of that watch is the bracelet.
I love the Oyster Flex.
I love that Rolex made a rubber strap and managed to over-engineer it to like the nth degree, you know? It's like, and they insist it's a bracelet, not a strap, which I think is hilarious and amazing, but also like kind of true, you know?
I dig it for sure.
Yeah. It also makes that watch, James, like way more wearable.
I think
like,
so,
I feel
yeah.
like that watch with the Oyster Flex, you can wear every day. Whereas I feel like a gold Daytona on a gold bracelet can get a little, it's a little bit of a chonker sometimes.
Yeah, I would agree.
Accurate, yeah.
Next up, we've got Danny in the hot corner.
Danny, back to back, baby.
I got painted into a hot corner.
You did.
I'm going to, just because I feel it would just be disrespectful not to. I'm going to rip the plastic off. I'm gonna take it out of the plastic.
Yeah, baby.
Okay.
Do it.
And I'm gonna go list price on the green dial 5711.
All
Nautilus.
Right. There we go.
For my Genta pick.
Can we talk about the fact that that watch slipped to eighth pick in this draft? That's pretty buck wild. I gotta be honest.
Someone had to.
I'm gonna tell you can I tell you what I would have picked had you picked it? Because I was trying to get creative in this thing.
Sure.
I was gonna go out.
Or wait, has everybody picked? Yeah, everybody's picked their Genta's watch,
closed.
So yeah.
I was gonna go Chopard.
Go for it.
Alpine Eagle.
Oh, okay.
I just think that's like if we're gonna go hype, I think you might be able to still get those right now.
That's not hype then, though.
No, but I read these instructions that. If it could be, if we think it has potential to be, we could bring it up. So I was going to go from that angle. And I think that the Alpine Eagle is kind of like a sleeping sleeper hit, waiting to kind of take off a little bit. It's got enough like enough cachet behind it. And also they like have this crazy steel that they milled themselves. It's like recycled steel for the bracelet that's supposedly very cool.
Nice.
But anyway, Nautilus. That's the actual pick. Green dial, 5711. That's my pick, and I am sticking to it.
But only at list price, right?
Only at list, and without plastic. There's no plastic
at
involved
list,
in this pick.
No plastic. Yeah. If your watch has plastic on it or is above list, do not call Danny Milton. Danny is straight out on
those
that.
Are the rules.
All right. Let's start the next round. Let's go. Round three, Danny, first pick. Let's take us to the back half of the draft.
Round three, I am going to go collab. And I'm going to do a watch that I saw in person, just because I think it adds a little bit of something to the pick.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going the AP Concept Black Panther.
Mm. Yeah, you are, baby.
And with the miniature sculpture of the Black Panther on the dial. And the reason I'm going with it is because I think I can tell this story now that the watch is out. When I was contacted about this release, I was not told what this release was. I had no idea. There is a watch. You need to come see it, and we can't tell you what it is. So I literally opened a box at APHQ in New York, and I had no idea what I was opening when I saw this. And to say it was shocking would be an understatement. I had no reference point. This is like probably 3.5 weeks before the watch came out. So I had no, like, nobody could make me feel a certain way about the watch from reading about it somewhere else. I just literally had my own opinion about it. And no joke, I thought this sculpture was very well made. That was my first observation about the watch. It's a wild, crazy thing. I think it underscores what the release actually is, which is a more wearable 42 millimeter AP concept, which if they had released that watch on its own would have been its own hit because it's like a very wearable, modern, cool, innovative watch, but it also happens to have a Marvel character like front and center on the dial with a tourbillon interestingly positioned on it. I'll let everyone else look at the pictures to see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we'll link that up in the show notes. People can infer what you mean there for themselves.
I think that's of shocking collabs. As the guy who wrote 50 stories on Space Jam, this was still the surprise one for me this year.
I think that's a strong pick.
Good pick. Yeah. Yeah, that's a hype watch. I mean,
James,
this is exactly
James
what you should
is shrugging
pick.
Yeah. Aggressively, maybe? Is that the right word, James?
Exuberantly. Yeah, I think so.
Exuberantly. Okay.
I don't.
Yeah.
Bring it, James. I'm wearing a purple hat to support the pick.
No, I mean,
so bring it.
For the draft, I think that's the space where this watch makes a lot of sense.
All right. James, what's your pick then? You're up next on the clock.
All right. Let's see. Man, it's tough because I think I'm clean on my picks. I don't think anyone's going to take any of these. So I'm going to do collab.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go for hype over what I would actually probably lean towards. And it's whatever I can't go back far enough to get the one I really want, but it'd be a Richard Mille Nadal. But like that really early one that was gray with the gray textile strap would be the ideal. But I mean, that one that came out earlier this year with the lattice kind of tennis racket style suspension system for the movement, I wouldn't kick that out of bed either. Sweet stuff. I love Richard Mille. They have a handful of interesting collaborations. And I think for hype, they are a hype brand. Like even if they weren't connected to people like Nadal, you see a watch like that and it feels like hype. Like they're such a special, weird, cool corner of the watch world.
Awesome. Great choice. I didn't even think about the athlete collapse here. It's funny. Like I was looking totally elsewhere. I think I'm kind of like desensitized to the like athlete sponsorship watches. But I think like the Nadal is maybe like the collaboration watch of the decade. You know, it's so cool. They've kept iterating on it. And to your point, James, like they've done it in a bunch of configurations and you know, I like some more than others, but like they're all pretty damn awesome.
They're cool. They're not, I wouldn't say they're all pretty, but they're all cool. And the early, I think the first two, at least without a strap, floated in water.
That's cool.
Which is just like,
I remember the first time I picked one up, I laughed.
Oh yeah.
Like I couldn't control it. Like it was like a physiological response because it's like too light. Like your brain, your brain sees how large the object is and can't understand that it's not that massive. And it's like, there's a weird disconnect.
Yeah. I remember that. I've not had a chance to see any of the Nadal stuff in person over the years, but I remember I got a chance to see the one of the first McLaren special editions they did. And it had, like a NATO that was sewn in, essentially, like a piece of elastic was all the strap was. And it weighed nothing, like nothing is the right term. It weighed a little bit, but like I've held a handful of change from my pocket that had more heft. Really, really fantastic things. Next up, we've got Mr. Cole again.
Cole.
So I have Rolex and collab to go. I'll go collab because James just went collab and I think everyone else picked Rolex already. So I'm in the clear. I went with something kind of like a, this is going to be interesting, but there's a collab of the people. There's one. What would you say is the beer of the people?
I know where you're going.
I know where you're going.
You're talking about like a tall boy.
Yeah, it could
like
be.
Like a Budweiser.
Yep. Budweiser. Budweiser is the beer of the people. And I wanted to kind of like appeal to the people to a degree. And that would mean the Budweiser G-Shock collab. And is that why not? You know?
That's a great choice.
It's a really honest collaboration for sure. I like it a lot.
Exactly. Like, and the thing is, I was thinking like, do you get a six pack or something if you buy the watch? No, you don't. But like, who would buy this watch? I don't know, but they're sold out. They're actually hard to get. And honestly, like, I don't know. I just think it's a very interesting collab, you know, why not? Budweiser G-Shock, you know?
I mean, it's not as crazy as Domino's Rolex. You know, those are beyond the age that we're allowed to pick for the draft. But that's when I saw the beer Casio, that's what I thought of. I was like, oh, that's like kind of in the same vein as like a Domino's Rolex. I think the Domino's Rolex were gifts and stuff, not commercially sold things. But I think that's a really fun pick for sure.
Why not? You know, it just makes
it's definitely
you
a collab
drink
and it's a
beer.
Good one. So
yeah, I think it's a great pick, Cole.
Thank you, sir.
All right, I'm going to make my last two picks as we enter the final round. I will go with my collab first, and this was a close one for me, but I'm also going to go with a G-Shock, but I'm going to go with the John Mayer Hodinkee G-Shock.
I knew it.
This is a watch that I love seeing them places. Like, it makes me so happy to just see them all over Instagram and stuff and to see that they've really become kind of like, I don't know, a part of like modern watch culture in a funny way. It's an awesome watch. It's a great story. John is like one of the OG kind of like celebrity watch collectors. I know that he like really actually designed this, you know, or had a hand in designing this. This isn't just something he put his name on. That's not how he tends to do things. And yeah, I just think it's an awesome piece. And I wanted to make sure I got something into my collection that was a little more accessibly priced. I will say a close second and a watch that I'm sure no one's going to pick, so I'm okay calling it out here, is the Bamford Arsham King Nerd Frank Mueller that came out, which is like a ridiculous quartet of people to have worked on a watch. But I mean, Frank Mueller didn't really work on this watch, but they're taken from old Frank Mueller Casablancas. But I just think it's like a perfect example of just like a bunch of people getting together and being like, you know what, let's do something weird and, you know, creative and shake things up. You know, a seafoam green Frankmuller Casablanca is like not necessarily in my like aesthetic wheelhouse, but I like the idea of that collab. So that's a sort of honorable mention for me, but I'm going to have to ultimately go with the John Mayer Hodinkee G-Shock, the 6900.
Nice. Great choice.
Yeah, great watch. Yeah.
All right. I'll bring us home. Let's go into the final round of the draft for my independent, which it feels like most of us have left here to the end. I'm going with, no surprise, an FP Journe. I'm going to go with the new-ish Vertical Tourbillon, and specifically the black label version of the Vertical Tourbillon. So those are watches that are platinum with black dial. They're boutique only. They're kind of like for Journe collectors, like the creme de la creme. They're tough to get if you're not a good client, a longtime client. You have to go through the boutiques. And, you know, we've seen that Journe tourbillons are bringing big results. Everything from the original subscription ones up to, you know, unique dial executions and more unusual ones that have been popping up at auction. The Vertical Tourbillon isn't necessarily my favorite Journe tourbillon, but it's the one that's in current production. And I think, you know, as he continues to innovate on that platform, I think, you know, 10 years from now, rare Journe tourbillons from this era are going to be almost as collectible as the ones from the early days. So that's my pick. And I think if you're going to go with Journe, I think, you know, there are other Journes I won't mention. We'll leave them on the board that are more personally my taste. But I think if you want a hype collectible Journe, I think a Tourbillon's the only way to go.
I didn't even think about putting Journe on because I figured you had it covered. So just to save myself from the anguish.
Same.
Well, you can still pick Journe. You just can't pick the Journe Tourbillon. But yeah, it was kind of a no-brainer for me. I'll be honest. I have a short list here of like five or six picks, and only one of them is not an FP Journe. I just think right now, if we're talking about hype independent brands, they're kind of in a league of their own. Chili P, back on the clock. Cole, what is your last pick, my friend?
Hold up. That's your boy, James. Oh, we're coming down the other side. No, that is Cole. That's on me. I had the wrong arrow.
James, this is a serpentine draft.
It's a serpentine draft.
Down and up the snake, you know?
The snake is mutated.
I was looking at the wrong part of the snake.
It's a mutant snake.
This is a long snake.
It all
at this point
comes back around, my friends.
Like a, what are those? The snake eating its tail? What's that called?
An Ouroboros.
Yes, exactly. It's there just like go. That. Good pull there, Stephen. Nice.
Thanks, man.
That was like instantaneous. Yeah. That was
that's because I paid too much money for liberal arts degrees. That's why I have that at hand.
But that's funny. All right. So it's Rolex.
Yeah, Rolex, your last pick.
The interesting thing about this category is, I mean, there are just not that many Rolex watches. And I will stay true to myself rather than pander, although Daytona was already taken by James.
Yeah, I was reaching for a joke.
And I would say I'm a GMT master fan boy, not a Rolex fanboy. Like you don't have to love everything the brand does. I think in general, like with watch collecting, you can love certain models, right?
Yeah.
I am a huge fan of the GMT Master 2. And that's what I would pick. I would pick it in Pepsi simply for the connection to aviation, exploration, kind of like mid-century proper tool watch. And I love that. And I think, yes, the watch has gone soft recently. Sure. It's been positioned as like the cosmopolitan watch as opposed to a true adventurer's watch. However, I don't care. I'm going to bring that, you know, back to how I want to wear it, which is the way I see the watches. Yeah, this is one of the few like hype watches that actually, to me, deserves the hype because it is that cool, because it has such a great backstory. So that's the Rolex I'm taking.
There we go, baby.
Are you wearing it right now?
It's right here.
Danny's making sure his is hitting the screen as well.
James, we missed the boat here, my friend.
So that's, I mean, you have great taste, Danny, I will say.
So do you, Cole.
All right. And I had a 1675 that I sold. So I guess we're kind of all in the club, maybe.
Forever ride or die 16710.
I'm just feeling left out now. That's really what's going on here. Yeah. All right. Great pick. James, second to last pick in the draft.
Oh, now. Now it's my turn because it is a serpentine draft.
There we go.
All right. I'm going to go with my high-end indie. This is actually kind of an easy one for me. There's only a couple, but there's one that I've liked and has really kind of never left my mind. And it is still part of their early, their current collection. It is on their website. I'm going to take that as a tacit endorsement that a wealthy enough individual, i.e. not me, could place an order and eventually get a Gerbil 4Z SIG 1. I absolutely adore this watch. I think that 4Z doesn't commonly, as a brand, they don't commonly do reserved watchmaking. A lot of it, it's all incredibly gorgeous and beautiful and super high-end, but it's often a little bit on the larger size on wrist. It's usually pretty thick. There's a lot of complication. I really like where they went with SIG 1. I still remember getting a chance to see it at SIHH several years ago, and at least according to their website, it is still part of the current collection. So I don't think I'm playing out of field. If so, I have a backup, but I'll leave it to the judges.
I think that's a great pick. You're going to get no pushback from the commish here. That's a hell of a pick.
Yeah, I love that watch.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I told you there was one high-end independent, not a Jorn, on my list, and it was a Gerbil 4Z. It was a different Gerbil 4Z, but it was. I think what they're doing is just astounding.
No one does it like them. Yeah.
Agreed. Totally agree. And I think we've all kind of gotten like desensitized to it a little bit, those of us in the industry, because we see it. And I think this is a good excuse to like pause for a minute and be like, oh no, what they're doing is truly special and like really worth taking the time. So
yep.
I don't know. I'd say if you're listening to this and you haven't gone and like looked at a Gerbil 4Z in a while, just go Google. Just yep. Go pull up some photos, go on Hodinkee, just find some pictures. It's going to blow your mind.
Yeah. And if you ever get a chance to see one in person, and let's say you're at a boutique or a shop that's carrying it, ask to borrow a magnifying glass or a loupe, because they are the absolute, or at least among the absolute pinnacle when it comes to fine hand finishing. Yeah. I remember editing photos. I'm sure I've told this story before, but I remember editing photos of the SIG 1 back when I shot it, and I kept finding these weird black circles, and I thought there was something wrong. And it's just the polishing on all the chamfers was so fine that it was picking up the black polish on the top of the screw heads next to it. And it took me a minute to kind of put all that together, because I had never seen
mirror finishing
on these tiny, tiny little edges on the movement of the watch. Really, really beautiful thing.
Fantastic pick, James.
I know.
Danny, you're closing it out. Last pick of the draft, and yours is your independent, right?
All right. A lot of pressure here. It is my independent, and I'm going to go with what I think is the definition of hype based on what you said at the top, and I'm going to go with the Ming 2702. I think that Ming, if we're going to talk about a watch that we might see at auction, you know, really blowing up, especially at the price point that the watches are offered at, and this one in particular, because it's the last of the 27 range, I think it was something like $5,000,
which is... Oh, I know the watch, yeah.
A pretty amazing...
Such a cool thing.
It's yeah. Really a cool thing.
Great pick.
And most of their watches, I think when they started, they were sub $1,000 watches, like as a brand. And when they release, I think when they released the Messina Lab collab, like broke the watch internet momentarily too. I mean, like there's legitimate, like the definition of hype is behind Ming. And I just think that's amazing. I think that it's amazing that a lot like the Mad One that Cole brought up before, really interesting modern design being introduced at a price point that is super accessible and kind of like represents what modern watchmaking without, you know, leaning so hard into heritage and history and all of that, which a lot of brands rely pretty heavily on, is very cool to me.
I agree. All right, guys. I mean, I think we got four good collections here. Let's just run through them quickly for people at the end, and then we'll let people go here, but and let people vote. But let's just do a rundown. Danny, you want to just give me through your collection? You can do them in whatever order you want.
I'll do it in selection order. I started off with Rolex. I did the Milgauss with the black dial, which with the famous green crystal, et cetera, et cetera. Steven backed me into a corner, and I went with the Nautilus 5711 for my Genta pick in green, sans plastic. For my collab, I went with the AP Black Panther because Tourbillon and Black Panther. And then to round everything out, I went with the Ming 2702.
Awesome. James, how about you?
I started up with the Genta pick as the Titanium Royal Oak QP, the current edition, the kind of salmon-y dial, 41 millimeters. Then I went to my Rolex pick, the gold Daytona on the Oyster Flex, the kind of modern day John Player special. After that, I did my collaboration, which would be an RM Nadal, probably one of the current ones with the sort of tennis racket lattice effect, but if I could find my way into one of the older ones, that one would be fine too. And finally, I rounded out my high-end indie with the Gerbil 4Z Signature 1.
Awesome. Cole?
For my Genta pick, I went with the A. Lange & Söhne Odysseus in stainless steel with a blue dial, as opposed to the white gold version. Then for the Rolex pick, I went with the GMT Master 2 ceramic bezel in Pepsi configuration. For the collaboration, I went with the Casio G-Shock times Budweiser collaboration. And then I went with the Max Busser Mad 1 for the high-end indie pick.
Awesome. And I'll wrap things up here. For my Genta pick, I went with the Bulgari Octofinissimo, the basic one in brushed or sandblasted titanium. For my Rolex pick, I went with the Oyster Perpetual with the Tiffany blue dial. For the collab, I'm going with the Hodinkee G-Shock John Mayer 6900. And for my high-end independent, I'm going to go with the FP Journe Vertical Tourbillon, specifically the black label version with the black dial and the platinum case. All right, so those are our four collections. Again, there will be a link in the show notes. We really want you to go vote. Figure you've got like a little over a week to get your vote in. And then in a couple weeks, we'll be back to do a kind of wrap-up show, letting you know who the winners are and kind of dissecting our picks, what we wish we could have changed, you know, the usual post-mortem on this draft. But thank you guys for doing this. This is super fun, and may the most hype collection win.
Thank you. I'm feeling pretty good about mine, so thanks, Steven. Not to hype myself up. It's a hype draft.
Love it, Danny. I love the smug confidence. Love it. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steven.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
See you.